Wow, the Lord is good. Some days you come to church, you just get a double dose of feeling good. I happen to have one of those today. And Sonia, so good to see you. Sonia, what do you call yourself, a dental assistant? Yeah, she's explored the depths of my being. And she still came to church. And she's a special lady. She's from Almogordo, New Mexico. And I love New Mexico. I really do. The land of enchantment. Just like you are. You're enchanting. And love Sonia. Every time I open up my Hatch chili bottle from the refrigerator, I think of her. Because it's not too far from there. They grow the Hatch chilies in New Mexico. If you never had a Hatch chili, then you've never really lived. Okay. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. So good to be in the house of the Lord. And I just want to bless you this morning with some words that I think will encourage you with faith and an impartation to your spirit that will maybe launch you this morning into something that will take you to the next level of appropriation as well as faith and believing. How many have faith this morning for God to give you something special? Amen? Say it. I want something special. Say it. I love it. Or no, say I like it. I want it. And I want some more of it. Okay. All righty. I think I messed that one up. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 37, and this isn't really where I'm parking this morning, but I wanted to take a detour for a moment into this particular passage because it's talking about the vision of dry bones. And a lot lately has been speaking to our heart about the gift of prophecy or the declaration of the word of the Lord. See, everything that God brings forth initially comes forth by word. The word is the thing that the inception of what we stand on to believe. You've got to believe something in order to achieve something, right? Without believing, there's no potential for success. Because without believing, then you'll be detoured away from the pursuit of success or perfection that God wants you to move into. And so the prophet Ezekiel was presented with this great valley of dry bones. And I love this passage, and we're just going to hit on this briefly this morning to kind of set the stage for the message that God has given me. Verse 4, prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. May I venture that maybe this morning in our heart, there's something that needs to hear the word of the Lord. Because God has orchestrated with these dry bones a people that are going to become a mighty nation. It's amazing how God takes out of nothing, out of a little, to bring forth something great. That's why the scripture says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Don't disdain the things that seem that they don't have any life, because there really is some life there. It just needs to be ignited. It just needs to be spoken to. We don't look and say, well, we've missed it or we've failed. No, we just say, Lord, speak. Because what you put here within us is ready to come alive. The body of Christ is ready to come alive. Amen? We're ready to hear the word of the Lord. So speak, Ezekiel, to these dry bones. And he said in verse 11, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore now prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, the God who's opened your graves, my people, and brought you up from them. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I shall place in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken it, and I performed it, says the Lord. So the Lord said, this is the hour that I'm bringing my word and I'm bringing my spirit to create upon the earth a people that will enter the land of God. So we stand this morning with this great vision of what this could be, what we could become, what we could see happen in the midst of us. It's beyond our ability to understand it in the natural, because it has at its very root and source a supernatural origin. What God wants to do in us will not come about by the flesh, but it's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. What God does in the body of Christ in this hour is going to be something that is not been able to be done by the natural mind of man, nor by the conniving of man, or by the plan of man, but it's going to come forth by the word of the Lord and by the Spirit of the Lord. For this thing that I'm raising up in the midst of you will be greater than you can imagine. This thing that I'm creating in you and through you has the potential to be more than the world has ever seen before. The world has not seen yet what's about to happen upon the scene. The world has not comprehended yet what God is about to do through a people, because God is raising up a people. He's raising up a generation that's different than any generation before it. It's a generation that carries the mantle and the mark of the kingdom of God. It's a people that have been set apart and brought forth out of the process to finally be delivered into this glorious image of the Son of God. This is what God is creating in this hour. This is what God is taking you through. He's taking you through this time that is seemed to be a valley, seemed to be a process where nothing around you was living, nothing around you had substance, or nothing around you had meaning or purpose. But all of a sudden, in the midst of that, the word of the Lord began to come and began to create something out of nothing. Oh, son, man of God, prophesy to this valley of dry bones. Something's going to happen. Amen. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4. I love this stuff. It all began back with a man named Abram. How many are familiar with the character? Who became Abraham? The difference between Abram and Abraham is very vast, because Abraham was simply a man that heard a promise. But Abraham is a man that walked in the promise. So by walking in that promise, he became a father of that promise. See, when God speaks to someone in the state they're in now, say he speaks to you or speaks to me, the full manifestation of that word that we hear is not fully evident yet until we begin to walk in it. Then all of a sudden, we become the manifestation of it. See, the word of God has to come, and what it does, it takes this death, this thing that has no meaning or life, and all of a sudden it's equipped. Now it has sinew, now it has muscles, now it has flesh, now it has breath. And all of a sudden, this which was nothing, even though it was there, now becomes something, and the name changes. We're going through a name change. Amen. Hallelujah. We are. We're going to go through a name change. Good news, you don't have to go to the courthouse to file it. Because here you were a Travis. Here you were a Joe. Here you were a Joel, a Cheryl, and a Mickey. Now you become a Christ. Here you were with your identity, but now all of a sudden his identity becomes the mark of who you are. Now your identification is with him. So Abraham was this such as this. He was Abram. But once Abraham heard the promise of God, God spoke to Abraham and said, you are going to be a father of many nations. Your descendants will be greater than the sand upon the seashore and the stars in the heaven. Thank you, Todd. Todd is my right-wing old man reminder. This is the promise I give to you. Abram. So from that moment forth, when Abram heard the word of the Lord, he obeyed the word of the Lord. And it started him on the process of becoming an Abraham. To where now we call Abraham, what do we call him? The father of faith. So consequently, he's the father of us all. We weren't birthed by the law. We weren't birthed by the things of man, but we were birthed by the word of the Lord. We were birthed because one man believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So he set the stage for the man, Jesus Christ, to come. That same man that came that also believed God, that also received everything that he was to receive from the one that was above him, thus becoming like the one that called him. See, all of us are in the process of becoming. We're going to become something, right? You're going to become an infidel. You're going to become a backslider. You're going to become worthless. You're going to become a loser. No, you're not going to become any of those things, are you? That's not what you're going to become. But some people are becoming those things. We live in a nation right now where the nation is being controlled by lies. We're not going to become liars. We're going to be based upon the truth, because out of us will become the emanation of the nature of God, which is truth, which is righteousness, which is overcoming and more than a conqueror. All those things are within us. You know, Paul exhorted them and he said, put on the whole armor of God. Everybody say, putting on the armor. What's the armor of God? The helmet? Salvation. I'll say it. Breastplate of righteousness, because I'm going to do in my order. It might not be your order. And I'm not going to do the biblical order. I'm going to do my order. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In our hand is a sword, which is the word of the Lord. And we have a shield of faith. That's what we're becoming. We're becoming these people that are fully equipped, fully anointed of God to do the will of the Lord upon the earth. Amen. And nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Yeah. Romans chapter 4. Wow. Verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith. Everybody say, it is of faith, that it might be according to grace. How does faith work? Faith works by love. Amen? Because, see, in the essence of every working of God, behind it is the underlying value of the demonstration of God's love through it. Nothing that happens in our life goes forth from us without there being this underlying current of love as the motivation. Because that the love is the very substance of God that purifies everything that we do. Because if you're properly aligned in love, then everything that comes out of you has a purity to it. Because it's devoid of your old nature and the thing that you want to accomplish through what you do, because you've surrendered to this love of God that begins to flow out of you, thus properly expressing that which God reveals through you. So there could be no misinterpretation of it. Amen? Isn't it wonderful that we live in an egoless, unstriving position with God, where there's nothing of ourselves that has to be produced to make this work? It's simply the yielding to the righteousness of faith. Because that's what's imparted to us. See, everything that God gives comes down from above and is imparted to us. all of his nature. Wow. So, that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Say, hey, Papa. Papa Abraham. He said, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. Hey, I was just reading in Genesis yesterday, too, about when Abraham's wife, Sarah, died. And Abraham bought the burial plot, bought the cave. We were at that cave. Wow. We were at the place where Abraham purchased a cave for a funeral plot for his family. Guess what? Sarah was buried there. Abraham was buried there. Isaac and Rebecca, right? Rebecca were buried there. And Jacob and Leah were buried there. They were all buried in this one place, and we were there. You talk about anointing. I mean, there's an anointing upon that cave. Because right in the midst of this cave is where faith was created. These were the authors and the finishers. These were the people that started this thing called faith upon the earth. These were the ones that first said, I believe God. Thus they created a nation. Wow. It's good to be go back to your origin, isn't it? I want to walk on the grave of Abraham and say, my father, look what you've created. It's been created in me. It's been created in those around me. It's been created in this generation, that they were created so that they could be brought into this land that's called the land of Canaan. It's the land of promise. It's the land of fulfillment. It's the land of provision, whereas God says, I will provide in this place. And that's what the kingdom is. God is bringing us into a place where he says to us, I am providing for you. David had this so cool when he said, the Lord prepares a table for me. Wow. The Lord is preparing for us this marriage supper, this place of union and communion that only comes through this connection that we have by faith that God gives us. See, once faith is birthed in you, it can never be separated from you. Once this hope that God promised, that the free graces in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now abideth these three things: faith, hope, and love. Once that abides in you, you're never separated. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Amen? Wow. I'm glad I can't be separated. Where was I? Verse 17. I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I'm just having so much fun going around calling those things that do not exist as though they did. Isn't that fun? Have you tried it lately? Just start calling those things that do not exist as though they did. There's something about that, because when you stir up that faith within you, it begins to illuminate the hope that God had planted within you in the original covenant that he made with you. Said Abraham was an old man, and God had promised him to be a father of many nations, yet he had no son. He didn't let that stop him, did it? He still kept believing, even against hope. He still believed God. Till one day, even after he messed up — I know none of us have ever messed up, right? But after he messed up — well, how many times have I messed up? Don't let me count the ways. It's too many. How about you? You don't want to count your ways, do you? How many times you've messed up? But guess what? Out of the mess up, God still hasn't removed that light that was planted in your heart called the hope, the anchor of your soul, that believed God and stood by the Lord when he came to you and you embraced him, and all of a sudden something was planted within you. What God plants in you can never be removed from you. It might be dimmed, it might be darkened, it might be covered, it might be you wear a veil around it. But guess what? That little light that God put in you, that he birthed in your spirit, will never be taken from you. It's just lying there waiting for a word to come and ignite it again, to stir it again in you, to create faith in you again. Baby, you can run, but you cannot hide. Well, I accepted Jesus when I was 15, and I've just been backsliding ever since. You better be ready. You better not get around anybody that's got a word. They're liable to stir something up in you. You know why they don't want to come in the church door after they've known the Lord and they fall away from him? Because they're afraid they're going to hear something that stirs them again. They're going to get stirred up. Stir it up. Stir it up. We're going to get stirred up. Everybody saying, getting stirred for Jesus. Say, I'm just getting stirred for Jesus. Hallelujah. So it said that in verse 18, contrary to hope, and hope believed so that he became the father of many nations. Verse 19, he was not weak in faith. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, because he became fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Wow. But don't you just want the Lord to come and just account it to you? Don't you want to hear the voice of God say to you, you believed, you stood, you contended, you've connected. Wow. This has not been for naught. None of it. Have we labored in vain? No. Have we sought in vain? No. Have we cried in vain? No. Have we contended in vain? No. Whatever you're believing in your heart today, have no mistake about it. God intends to fulfill it in your life. Amen? And some of us, it may just be, well, just let me, Lord, lead a peaceful life. I mean, there's a lot of people who pay a lot of money in this world if they could just give them a peaceful life. Right? There's a lot of people that got a lot of money that aren't living peaceful lives. A lot of people got a lot of power that aren't living peaceful lives. Evidenced if you watch television. There's a lot of people that don't have the thing that God said, I promised to give you. You may not have a pot. You may not have a fancy car. You may not have a big house on the hill. But if you have the faith that God put in you, you have the Christ of righteousness that is imputed to you, something that's greater than anything that man could offer you. Don't fret. Don't faint. Don't dismay over the fact that others may have more than you, seemingly more. Because if that which God has put in you, you may just be a sleeping giant ready to birth a mighty nation. Wow. Wake up, you dead bones. Stand up and put on the form that God has called you to be, to walk in. Wow. This is kind of my default message this morning. Because this is a message I'm living. Chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Muhammad, so we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Everybody say, we have peace, but we've been justified. We have access into the grace that we stand. There's an open door into this access of grace for all of us to walk in. And not only that, but that's not enough. I mean, how many would say, God, give me faith and peace and access into the grace? And now he says a little, I'm going to give you more. Woo! Not only that, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you the process that will create in you a hope and a faith that can never be taken away from you. How many would like to hear the secret process that will give you a hope and a faith that can never be taken away from you? Hello? In other words, how many would like for me to tell you and hand to you on a silver platter a nugget of gold that's so incredible that it could buy the whole things of the whole systems of the world? How many would like that? I'm going to give it to you. Just go to Easy Tithes and it says, yeah. It says part four. Unlock part four for me to hear. Kind of like one of them sales deals, you know, you get. So if you just put your credit card in now, here, come on, give a 3-hour seminar on how to trade stock. You get there and they say, now give us $1,000 and we'll tell you the next step. Give them $1,000. Then they say, we'll give you $3,000 more. Then we'll tell you the real step. Well, after the $3,000, well, that really wasn't the best step. There's another step for $10,000. That's kind of how the way I preach. Okay. Okay, here's the process. Here it is. This is what you've been looking for all your life. You just didn't realize it. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Someone say, say what? Say what? We glory in tribulations. The beautiful process of faith is that faith is so awesome, but yet faith has to be acquired into us and processed through us in order to be manifested in its pure form. It never can be embraced mentally, nor can it be simply agreed to because it's a good doctrine, or simply adhered to because it seems like other people win victories with it. Faith has to be birthed in you, dug out of the dirt. You dig faith out of the dirt. So when you see, and we all go through this, we all develop through this, but when you, the folly of youth is this. The folly of youth is saying that I have all this faith, but yet I've never submitted myself to the discipline of the Lord. I've never submitted myself to the tribulations and let the tribulation process produce in me the purity of what it should be. That becomes a folly of youth because it never stands. Everything you build upon in hope and faith, unless it's built through the principle I'm fixing to tell you, will not last. It'll always fail. That's why don't ever get enamored with the glitz and the glamour of Christianity. Because in reality, there is no glitz and glamour in Christianity. Yeah, there is a lot of glitz and glamour, not there, but no, there's no bronze. There's no sequins. There's no makeup. It's pure gold. What God reveals. Wow. And this is it. We got to go on. Okay, you ready? Okay, come back next week. Yeah. We glory in our tribulations. Wow. Knowing this, that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance Character. Character. Hope. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Tribulation produces perseverance. You know, the scripture tells clearly that everything that he births, he also tests. He refines. It says the testing of your faith, even though it seems to be tart, but it brings forth a fruit that can never be taken away from you. It says in Hebrews that also the Father, it said when we come to the Father, he chastens us. And we've misinterpreted that in so many ways, because we're used to a father spanking us with a belt. That's not what he's doing. But God puts us into this place that all of a sudden, this thing that he put in us has to be validated. It has to become a reality to us. Because believe me, you don't want, and all of you know this because you've been walking with God. I know that I'm preaching to the choir. You don't want to come up against a giant in the land. You don't want to come up against an insurmountable object in your life and not yet have this thing validated in you. That you're strong in the Lord. So I had a little deal the other day, and I don't go into details, but I had this little deal, and I came out of the little deal, and it normally would be a big deal, but I refused to make it a bigger deal than what it was. Does that make sense? Don't make the little deal, the big deals, don't make the things that seem to be big deals anything but a little deal. And sure, don't make the little deals a big deal. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to do when the horseman comes? What are we going to do when the battles? What are we going to do when all this comes against you? Are you going to fail and fold? Or are you going to stand as Abraham said, I believe God in the midst of all this thing that I'm going through? And boy, all I got to do is read the Apostle Paul and see what he goes through, what he went through. And I'm thinking, man, I've never even gone through anything close to that. You know what I'm saying? Wow, I never went through anything close to what Jesus went through. And I'm praying, Lord, don't let me ever go through anything like that. Because, I mean, this is hard, some of these things these people went through. But what it was producing in them was a weight of glory. Wow. That was producing, he said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that God is revealing in me. So I went through this little thing the other day. And I knew I was going to go through this little thing, because sometimes you just know things, right? So I go out of this office and I'm singing, oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That's a true story. I came out of this thing sang that song. And I'm not bragging, you know, the people around me that were hearing it probably thinking, get a life, you know, you can't sing your way out of a bucket or whatever. But I didn't care. I was rejoicing. That's a rejoicing song to me. I was rejoicing over that which I just heard because I knew that the promise that God put in within me was greater than anything I could hear contrary to it. No matter what men may say, I believe God. Amen? Wow. So how are you doing? Someone may say, how are you doing? You really want to know? I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I have a hope that comes from God, and I have a blessed hope that not only is for this temporal time that I exist, but also my hope is for eternity and all that God has promised me. Amen. There is no bad report. There is no bad scenario when you live in the grace of God. It's all victory. It's all victory. Oh my God. You don't believe what I'm going through. Yeah, you're going through it. I know what it's like to go through it. But I do know this. There's a triumphant king in the midst of what you go through that maybe doesn't lessen the impact of what you're going through. It's real, yes. But the reality of him is so great. Wow. What report do we bring? What testimony do we give other than this testimony of this living Christ who extended his grace to us that never fails us nor never turns it back upon us? This is my God. In my tribulation I'm going through, I know is producing in me a perseverance. I love people that are perseverant, don't you? That's why I love our present, you know what, is perseverance. I love people that are perseverance. We have a situation right now in our nation that the only way that God can win the victory is through men and women that will stand and refuse to be moved. They will be called the kick butt generation. Excuse the French live stream. Someone was just fixing to push the button, donate, and they backed off. I hope that's not a prophecy. We need men and women this hour. We need men and women this hour in the church, in the business place, in the government that will stand and will not be moved by the passing scene of tribulation. That will become like a tree planted by the water, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our nation needs to get out of its mamby-pamby and get back to what it's supposed to be. Men and women that dug it out of the dirt and created something out of nothing. Woo. Let the arrows fly. Shield of faith. And you're not throwing any arrows, but there's some coming from the spirit realm. Okay, here you come, baby. Whoa, whoa, wow, victory, 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 victory. We are the victorious body of Christ. So I get this little thing the other day. So I went out and I start singing the Lord, praise. So I get in my car. So my natural flesh says, go home, get in bed, and cover your face with your sheets and have a pity party. So I said, I'm listening to that. So instead, I drove to the gym. Now I increased all my weights on my machines by 20 pounds. And I, ever since then, I've been increasing my weights because I'm strong. He did not consider himself to be weak. But he considered himself to be strong in the faith. So how do you consider yourself this morning? Weak? Weak? Shout strong. Strong in the Lord. Now go find you a valley of dry bones and start talking. Start prophesying. Start declaring. Start believing. Start contending. Whew. Lift up thy head. Thy redemption draweth nigh. Wow, I got to conclude. I don't want to. So, is this okay? New Mexico? Say, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Amen. I love you, Sonia. You're so sweet. Yeah. You are so sweet. And Donna finally got you to come to church. We're going to give Donna a merit badge. Verse 22 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. Let us draw near. Okay, you ready? Draw near. Draw near. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession. Let us hold fast the confession. Everybody say, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering. Without wavering. Without wavering. Because he who promised is faithful. Amen? Wow. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. I must have preached this message lately because didn't we sing that song, the stir up song recently? We tried. So I must have preached a stirred up message once before recently. How many like stirred up messages? Stir it up. We like to stir things up. Yeah, live stream, we're stirring you up in the name of Jesus. Is there someone on live stream right now? Reach out and touch the TV. Someone on live stream right now that needs stirring up. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I stir you up. I stir your conscience to good faith. I stir you to believe God like you've never believed God before. You may have heard something, you may have seen something that discouraged you, but I rebuke that in the name of the Lord, and I just declare your faith will be strong. In Jesus' name. It's like 1955, I believe it was, when I crawled out of my bed in my living room, and I crawled up to the TV, and Oral Roberts had his hand sticking out there, and he said, come touch this screen and be healed. And I, as a little boy, I crawled down out of my bed. I was so sick, and I put my hand on the TV on Oral Roberts' hand. You don't think I had some early influence? Years later, tears came to my eyes as I walked into Oral Roberts' office, and I walked up and I shook his big old hand. And I said, 1955, Oral, I got up off my sick bed, and I touched the TV. I was in the presence of faith. When I met Oral Roberts, I said, there's a man of faith. I didn't bow at his feet. I didn't grovel. I didn't give him extra tithe. I just went up and said, I'm glad to meet faith. Someone that's believed God. Hallelujah. That has become a foundation of what we are. We have a whole passing generations before us that we ought to appreciate more than ever. for the men and women that paid the price to believe, that stood the test of time, that went through tribulation, that went through all this testing so that their character could be proven, so that their hope could be birthed in them, so the faith could be preserved for us to walk in. We've got a great obligation to carry on that tradition that our forefathers gave us. We're going all the way back to that man that's buried over there in that cave in Hebron. Amen. Thank you, Father. Woo, just about through. We got started a little late. Todd talked too long. No, I'm just kidding you, Todd. You really didn't. It was all that healing stuff, wasn't it? All those people wanting to get healed. Yeah, that's what it was. Get healed quicker next time. Yeah. It said in verse 35 of chapter 10, don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Yet for a little while, and he who is coming and will not tarry, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not those who draw back to perdition, but we're those who believe to the saving of the soul. Everybody say, we're those that believe to the saving of soul. Amen. Stand up with us this morning if you would, and I'm just going to speak a blessing. See, faith requires an activity on our part. It's an action that corresponds exactly with the faith that we believe. So I'm a believer, and so I'm going to engage like it's a reality, calling those things as not as though they were. I used to do that in the natural a lot. I wanted a motorcycle, so I put a picture of a motorcycle in my refrigerator. 6 months later, I had a picture. That picture became a physical manifestation. I wanted a specific car. I'd put it on the refrigerator. A few months later, that car would become a physical manifestation. I'd much rather sit in a car than look at the car on the refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? I'm just using that because what I'm saying is that if you're believing God, whatever a man believes, he can see. I know it can pertain to things. Things are okay. Some of you need to start believing for some things you need. Pin it on your refrigerator. But most of all, God wants you to believe that what he's doing in you in this hour is the refrigerator. You are the thing that God plants his heart, his vision on. You're the one that receives his word. You're the nation that God is birthing. You're a generation that will never be spoken of in any negative way, but they will look upon you and they say, these are the people that believed. These are the ones that caused it to happen. We may not be the ones that fully get it. We may be part of that Hebrews where it says these are the ones that even died in the faith, not yet receiving the promise. We may be even part of that, but we have a good opportunity not to be that. We have a good opportunity to be the ones that have finished this work, have completed this thing, that have brought about his kingdom upon the earth. Because never before in the history of humanity has there ever been this anointing, this word, this time, this opportunity to become this thing that God has called us to be. This is the greatest day. This is the greatest hour upon the history of this planet and Christianity is this moment right now. That if a people will just say, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Woo. So I bless you this morning. I pray that the spirit of Abraham will rest upon us today. That there will be birthed within us this promise from God, this legacy of inheritance that we bring all the way back from those many centuries ago will be brought to bear right now, that we are a people, Lord, that are entering in to your promised land because we've heard your word that said, come up out of the place you've dwelt. Now begin to walk into the place that I've set before you. So I declare this morning that, Lord, we become that people that walk through the valleys, that walk through the hard places, that walk through the days of tribulation, but we don't stay there. We don't rest there, but we come through that, Lord, because you're producing in us a faith and a righteousness and a character that can never be taken away from us in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! The Lord is good. Wow. Can we speak to this morning?